church, and also I used to be one of the pastors on staff. In fact, I'm the eldest elder that we have, and 20 years ago I would not have been very proud of that, but at this season of my life, yeah, I'm glad to be the eldest elder. So I get to bring God's word to you today as we continue in our sermon series for this new year. We're calling it 2020, God's Vision for My Life. So as we get started, I have a question that I would like to ask you. What was your answer to this? When you were younger, and those of you who are young now, maybe even those of us who are in our 40s, 50s, and 60s still would answer this question today. When I grow up, why I want to be? What was your answer to that? Turn to someone next to you and tell them your answer to that question when you were younger or even today. All right, real quick, you have 15 seconds to do that. So I'm not going to take too much time to try to interpret that in terms of what that means for you. When I was younger, I wanted to be a doctor. I remember when I was 8 years old, I wanted to be a doctor. 9 years old, I wanted to be an obstetrician. Where that came from, I have no idea at that age. But then I wanted to be a pediatrician. Then somewhere along the line, I decided I wanted to be a disc jockey on the radio. Why are you laughing? You can't see... You can't see me doing that? I was even called Wee Willie. Spin some discs for you, some records here. Well, anyway, and around the same time, I wanted to be a farmer because I was working on my grandparents' 200-acre vegetable farm in North Carolina, and I was thinking, well, you know, maybe I'll be a farmer. But then at the age of 16, God called me to be a preacher, to be a pastor, and from that point on, that's pretty much what I've been until this past week. This past week, I found out that this year, Oscar Mayer is looking for 11 drivers of their Wienermobile to travel the United States. And I went, this is my year of fearless, hashtag 2020 fearless, you know, and I'm going like, you know, this would be interesting. You know, the only problem is, they're looking for people much younger than me, and I wondered if they would consider a seasoned citizen. Just how much fun would that be? Look at the inside of that thing. I mean, just imagine traveling down. How many of you have seen the Wienermobile going down the road? Yeah. Have you, when you've seen it, have you wondered, ooh, what would it be like to drive that? Well, I thought about it. That's one of the things about being somewhat retired. I can consider a lot of interesting things at this particular time. But probably being a hot dogger. That's what they call them. The drivers of these Wienermobiles are called hot doggers. I'll leave that one alone. Each of us, I think, has a vision of what we want to be, what we want to do. Kind of a vision of how we'd like to see our life go. But have you ever considered God's vision for your life? And that's what this sermon series is all about. Not so much to think about what are our goals, what's my vision for my life, but what is God's vision for my life? And does he have a vision? Yes, he does. He has a vision for each of our lives. He has a vision of how he wants to work in each of our lives. And this sermon series is all about that, at least four areas that we want to look at in terms of God's vision or how he wants, four areas of where he wants to work in our lives. Now last week, we looked at God's vision of how he wants us to be saved. God wants us to be made right with him, to have eternal life, to become a child of God, to become an heir of his promises and blessings. And he wants us to be saved so that we can know him personally, have a personal relationship with him, and know what his vision and will is for our lives. And he wants us to be saved so that we will know God loves us unconditionally. This week, we're going to be looking at God's vision for us to be healed. He wants us to be healed spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Now, let me share with you some verses from the Bible that talk about how God wants us to be healed. First off, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. He himself, that is Jesus, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. That's spiritual healing that he's talking about. Those are the spiritual wounds that Jesus himself bore on the cross for you and for me. And then David, King David, the psalmist, declares in Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3, let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. So we have the spiritual healing, we have the physical healing that he has promised to us. And then Psalm 147, verse 3, he, God, heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Brokenheartedness is emotional wounds. It's the emotional area of our life that needs the healing. These broken hearts, these wounds that are a part of our lives that many of us carry for most of our lives. Broken hearts and wounds that come from maybe childhood experiences or relationships that didn't work out the way you wanted them to, or the loss of someone that you loved very dearly, or a vision that you had for your life that didn't go the way you wanted it to go, or rejection from other people. These are things that go to the very core of who we are, our soul, our hearts, and we are broken. I'm here today to tell you that God wants to heal you. He wants to heal your brokenheartedness. He wants to put a bandage on that wound, not just to cover it, but to heal it, to bind up our wounds. He is the God who does that. And then one more verse, James chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And so we can learn from Scripture, just from these four verses, we can learn that God is a God who wants to heal us spiritually, emotionally, and physically. We looked pretty much at the spiritual healing part of it last week in the sermon last week. So if you weren't here, if you didn't get that, I encourage you to go to our website, graceplace.com, and listen to that message. Today I'm going to focus on being healed emotionally and physically. And I want to tell you right now, it's not going to be an exhaustive kind of presentation because we'd both be pretty exhausted by the time I got to the end of it. I'm not going to cover everything, and I encourage you to dig into the Scriptures, to read the Scriptures, to search the Bible and find the passages and verses that deal with healing and how Jesus wants to heal he really wants to make us whole in every way. But I do want to cover this morning what I consider to be, and maybe you don't consider it to be, but I consider it to be some of the most important and relevant aspects of emotional and physical healing as they relate to us today. Now, for those of you who are visiting with us for the first time today, I can just kind of see some of you are going like, okay, what have I gotten myself into? They're going to be talking about healing. God wants us to be healed, and kind of the resistance is coming up. You know, what do they believe? What are they going to say? Well, just hang in there with me, all right? Because I think it's going to be helpful to you. I want to deal, first of all, with some extreme teachings on healing. They're out there. You can find them, you know, at either end of the continuum. One of the extremes is God doesn't heal today. There are those who believe and teach that the gifts of healing and God's healing power is not available today. I don't believe that. I think that's extreme teaching. I don't think it's biblical. Another extreme teaching is God heals everyone. Well, I don't think that's biblical either, because we can see, not just in the Bible, not everybody was healed in the Bible, but even in reality, that doesn't happen. And then there's one that kind of is it's kind of a mixture of this God heals everyone. And it goes like this. God has already healed everyone through the cross. And if you have enough faith, you can receive that healing. I believe that's a very dangerous I believe the first part. God has already healed everyone through the cross. I believe that the cross, Jesus' death on the cross, breaks the power of sin and breaks the power of disease and sickness over us. But this next part, that if you have enough faith, you can receive that healing here and now. And what that does is it puts all of the onus on me and whether I measure up, whether I have enough faith. If I don't get healed or someone I pray for doesn't get healed, then this particular teaching is like, well, you know, maybe I didn't believe enough. Maybe I didn't have enough faith. Well, how do you have enough faith? Tell me when you have enough faith. How do you measure that you have enough faith for God to answer your prayers or work in your life? And I think this is a dangerous kind of teaching because while faith is certainly a part of the healing process, the application of God's healing power, the timing of his healing power is up to him. He is sovereign, he is supreme, and he administers his healing power according to his will. Now, having said that, let me answer this question. Two questions, really. Is healing for today, and should we pray for healing? And my answer is yes. Okay? Do you hear that? Yes, healing is for today, and we should pray for healing. No scripture condemns the legitimate use of doctors and medical science, but let's remember that one of the names of God in the Old Testament is Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord heals. He healed in the Old Testament, he healed in the New Testament, he is still the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Lord, our healer. It is God who has the power to heal all of our diseases, whether they're spiritual, emotional, or physical. He has the power to heal the whole person. One of the aspects of Jesus' ministry when he was here on earth was the healing of the sick. I don't think it was the major primary reason that he came, but it was certainly an important aspect of what he did. In fact, we find in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, that Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. After his return to heaven, God the Father sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. The Holy Spirit came to take up residence in our heart. And the healing power that Jesus exhibited continued through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. The apostles, you read the book of Acts, and in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are going along, and there's a man that's brought to the city gates. He's been lame since birth, and he's begging for money, for help. And these apostles walk up to him, and they say, "We don't have any money to give you, but what we have, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk." And he got up and walked. And then James writes, in the book of James, chapter 5, these words to us in the church: are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. I believe God is a God who still heals our diseases. That he is present and he's available and he is able to do this. And later this morning, we're going to put it into practice. Now I can see the little bubbles over your heads like, uh-oh. But it's going to be fine. Just hang in there. But I can also see little bubbles over your heads. And there's a question that's coming up in your minds. And that question is, what about those who are not healed? I'm going to tell you right now, my response is probably not going to be adequate for some of you. It is, I don't have the answer, the final answer. I don't have all the answers for every situation. But I want you to know this. This question is very personal to me, as some of you know. It'll be 2 years next month that my wife passed away. 27 years of dealing with a chronic illness, a disease, multiple sclerosis, that caused her to move more and more progressively towards disability and her body not being healthy and responding. And I want you to know that in those 27 years, we prayed numerous times. We had healing services. We had people laying hands on her, anointing her with oil. We were at a conference one time, and a young man comes up to her and says, "God's laid it upon my heart to pray for your healing. Can I do that?" Cindy never turned down a request from anyone who wanted to pray for her, because she always trusted and believed that God could and would heal her, and she was asking him for that. She was healed many times from various setbacks when she was in the hospital in serious condition, close to death, and we had people praying for her all around the world, internationally. It just blew our minds that we would hear back from people who said, "I have friends in Germany praying for you," and just all over the country on prayer chains as people were praying for her healing. We saw God bring her through some very challenging and very difficult situations. But she was never healed of that awful, awful disease of multiple sclerosis. You know, at one time, I was in my basement office, and I just bowed before the Lord with tears streaming down my eyes. And I said, "Oh God, I think I've learned everything I need to learn through this season of life. I think we've learned what it's like to have affliction, to be, you know, to have this disease and all that's going on. I think we've learned. Would you go ahead and heal Cindy so we can get on with our lives?" You ever prayed a prayer like that? You know, like I said, this is very personal. God doesn't answer every prayer for healing, but God heals who, when, and where he chooses for his glory and the advancement of the gospel in a dark and dying world. I sometimes think we have an entitlement kind of spirit, that we think God owes us something, that he owes us to answer our every prayer the way we want him to answer it. But I've come to learn in my life that God is supreme and sovereign, and God's going to do what he wants to do for his glory. And you know, I've learned also that, you know, God's glory can be seen in the healing of our diseases, divine, miraculous healings. And that's why I continue to pray for Cindy's healing and for the healing of others. But I've also discovered that God uses illnesses and afflictions in astonishing, beautiful, and sanctifying ways to build our faith, to advance his gospel in a dark and dying world. Examples of Cindy's testimony of those 27 years as she, with faith, with strength, like so many people, moved through those challenging years. And there would be people who would just come to her, and they would write her notes and just say, "Your faith and your perseverance encourages me, shows me Jesus, helps me look to God, helps me to believe that God is there and he's going to help me get through whatever I'm facing." After her death, I can't tell you how many words, how many testimonies, how many cards I received from people who said her faith in the face of affliction, in the face of suffering, her faith, her life showed me Jesus. If that doesn't advance the kingdom in a dark and dying world, I don't know what does. Amen. When God doesn't heal, sometimes it's because we simply don't ask him. It's because we don't come to him. For some reason, we don't believe it, or we just don't think we deserve it. We think that, you know, he's punishing us, or he's got something against us, and we won't even ask him. We won't even come to him. We won't even ask other people to pray for us. But then healing may not come the way we expect. I know I'm going a little bit long here, but I got to tell you a story. Tony Campolo, who's an author and a professor, a preacher, a man that has lived a very interesting life, tells a story about being in a church in Oregon where he was asked to pray for a man who had cancer. Tony boldly prayed for the man's healing. He laid hands upon him and prayed for his healing. The next week, the wife of this man called Tony, and she said, "You prayed for my husband. He had cancer." Tony says when he heard her use the past tense about cancer, he thought, "Oh, wow, he's been healed." But then she said this to him, "He died." Tony was, he felt terrible. But the wife continued, "Don't feel bad. When he came into that church that Sunday, he was filled with anger. He knew he was going to be dead in a short period of time, and he hated God. He was 58 years old, and he wanted to see his children and grandchildren grow up. He was angry that this all-powerful God didn't take away his sickness and heal him. He would lie in bed and curse God. The more his anger grew towards God, the more miserable he was to everybody around him. It was an awful thing to be in his presence." But she continued to tell Tony this, "After you prayed for him, a peace had come over him, and a joy had come into him. Tony, the last 3 days have been the best days of our lives. We've sung, we've laughed, we've read scripture, we prayed. Oh, they've been wonderful days. And I called to thank you for laying your hands on him and praying for healing." And then she added this word, "He wasn't cured, but he was healed." Healing may not come the way we expect. And so let's not put God in our box of how we expect him to respond. So let me land this sermon. Let me bring it in with just a few statements of kind of how we can go on to apply this. First off, we should ask God to reveal the fullness of his healing power to the church. We should be praying and with faith and asking him that when we come before him in prayer to pray for the healing of the brokenhearted and for the physical disease, that God would reveal his healing power, not for our good, not for our glory, but for his glory, that his word would go forth and his kingdom would be advanced. And then secondly, if you are going through a sickness, a disease, a broken heart, you've been praying, but that answer hasn't come. Like Ben's song, you're in that waiting room and you've been waiting. While you wait, have a heart of praise and worship to God, not for the disease, not for the affliction, but to have a heart of praise and worship during this particular season of your life, asking him to work everything according to his purpose, that the character of Jesus may be seen of you. Many of you are familiar with Paul's thorn in the flesh and how he said he asked God 3 times to remove it. 3 different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me." Thirdly, we know that sin, but sickness, disease, and pain is not eternal. It's not going to last forever. We look for a day when Jesus is coming back. He's returning, and he will raise the dead, and those of us who are alive are going to be caught up with him. And we read in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, these verses. "I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever.'" Look at that. "There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." My friends, let's keep our eyes on the goal. Let's keep our eyes on the goal in terms of Jesus coming again and what eternity is going to be like. We should seek healing and comfort. And we should seek it through natural means and supernatural means, however and whenever possible. I want to to say to those of you who are brokenhearted, those of you who are dealing with emotional wounds, we have a ministry here called Celebrate Recovery. We want to pray for your healing, for your emotional wounds, but sometimes healing is a process, and Celebrate Recovery is a place where you can go with others and move through what God has for you, that you might find that healing of your broken heart and the wounds that are there. And I think we all should remember that more important than healing the body is healing the soul and healing and changing the heart of people. Remember the woman whose husband died of cancer. He wasn't cured, but he was healed. You tell me what was more important. And lastly, we should continue to pray for the sick with the expectation that they're going to be healed according to God's will, according to his plan. Now, I'm going to make an administrative pastoral decision. We are not going to have communion. Ben, if you would come and we'll have a song. I'm not sure what you've chosen for the closing, but we're going to sing a song to close. But we're going to invite you after we sing that if you want to have prayer for healing, whatever the need is, whatever you sense God has, he's saying to you, this is the time that you need to humble yourself and to ask for people to pray for you. And they're going to be, I'm going to be here. There'll be other elders, deacons that will be here. We're going to, after we sing, I'm going to close the service, and then I'm just going to invite you to come forward if you want to have us pray for your healing. Now, for those of you who have never done this, let me just tell you, we're just going to do what James chapter 5 tells us to do. We're going to take a little bit of oil. There's nothing magical about it. It just represents the Holy Spirit. We're just going to put that on your forehead. We're going to lay hands on you. We're just going to pray a very simple prayer. We're just going to pray that God will heal you. If you want to tell us what that need is, that's fine. You can tell us. If you don't want to tell us, that's fine as well. But we're just going to pray for you. And whatever faith you have, again, remember, I don't know how to measure what enough faith is. Just start where you are and believe that God wants to heal you. Make yourself available to him for whatever he wants to do in your life. But come with a spirit, with an attitude, for God's will to be done in your life, for him to